Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program, Very Mod. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Tuesday, December 7, 2021. Some African leaders meeting in Senegal urge their counterparts on the continent to prepare for future pandemics.
No country can face environmental and health perils, organized crimes, piracy and cybercrime alone. These and others are all cross-border challenges.
And an armed group stole teachers' salaries in northern Bahr al-Ghazal state.
They stormed a facility. They threatened the watchman at gunpoint. They asked the watchman to open the container because it seems that they are having information of the whereabouts of the money.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan Police Service say they are investigating the cause of a fire that burned down shops in Juba's custom market on Monday evening. Some of the traders say they have lost everything they had stocked for Christmas season. A police spokesperson says the fire brigade could not do much to put off the fire because the market has no space for vehicles to pass. For VOA News, David Monodanga reports from Juba.
Patrick Wani, who sells horse, rugs and other agricultural tools at the customs market, says his shop was completely destroyed by the fire. Wani says he also lost 3 bales of second-hand clothes he stocked for the Christmas holidays. Wani says he lost everything in the fire.
By the time I got here on Boda, this whole place had burnt already. There is nothing I rescued from the fire, nothing even one. I had shoes and bales of new clothes and bales of second clothes that I was yet to open. Some of the new special clothes arrived on Saturday and I did not open them.
Wani says the tools cost him about $2,800 in addition to the money he spent on buying clothes for the holidays. He estimates his total loss at $5,000. Trader James Obole says he lost 6 new bales of clothes he recently stocked plus 4 sacks of old stock worth a total of 570,000 South Sudanese pounds.
For me, I lost like 6 bales. So apart from the stock, the dead stock and what, like 6 bales. If you say 1 bale, me, I buy my bale at 80,000.
Cheap. Pounds.
Yeah, times 6. And then you add the dead stock, the stock which I have, which is around. Now one shark is like, is carrying like 150 pieces. 150 pieces times 1,500. It's a lot of money. That money you cannot raise, you cannot get it from somebody, you cannot borrow.
Emmanuel Jada, one of the dealers in the market, says their office also caught fire, but they managed to rescue some office equipment before the fire destroyed the rest.
All those shops and the 6 towers before our office all got burned to ashes. It's in the Darfur's man shop that did not burn. He managed to empty his shop in time, but our office got consumed. These people helped us rescue 2 computers, a printer and the tables containing documents, and they left the rest of the things to burn.
Jada says they could not remove the other materials from their office without risking their lives in the fire. Brigadier General James Dakarlo, deputy spokesperson for the South Sudan National Police Service, estimates about 60 shops were destroyed in the fire.
Fire started around 6 in the evening. It burned all the shops. Unfortunately, you know, these shops are built with zinc material. And zinc material is favorable to fire. It can catch a fire very easily. Yeah, if they were built with a concrete building, I think we would have been able to rescue some of the damages. Anyway, there's nobody who has died. It is only properties that has been destroyed.
Carlos says the fire brigade could have put out the fire if the shops were not connected to each other, leaving little or no space for the fire truck to pass through. He says police are investigating the cause of the fire to determine if it was malicious or negligence.
The case has been opened at Maona Police Division within collaboration with those of civil defense, which is fire unit. they know how to detect whether the fire is started by accident or it is intended act by a malicious person. Or we'll get the finding from them. We have not come up with evidence that it has been done by somebody who had a malicious act. But according to some finding, it seems to there is negligence.
This is the third time a major market has burned in Juba. Last week, the Malakia market also caught fire caused by a gas fire. In late November, the Gudele 1 market fire killed 3 people and destroyed several shops. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
Some people living with disabilities say they have suffered the brunt of flooding in South Sudan's Unity State. One resident of Unity State's Fangak County says he finds it difficult to move around when everyone else heads to higher ground. For VOA News, Sheila Pony reports from Juba.
People with disabilities and the elderly are among the most adversely affected in emergencies. And among those latest likely to have access to emergency support, especially during floods. In Fangak County, people with disabilities were forced to fend for themselves because there was little notice of the ongoing floods. 21-year-old Fangak County resident Ruot Machot says the last several 2 years have been harrowing, even life-threatening. Ruot was often abandoned at home as other family members raced out to repair dikes or build new ones while he sat in water.
I've been here since the flood started. When the dikes break, everyone will go and start making dikes again, flushing water. And in that case, the water that is flushed, I will suffer from them because I don't have legs. I will just stay inside the water until they flush all the water out.
Rod recalls the times he was left in the cold without blankets or mosquito net. He says his beddings had been washed away in the floods.
I suffer a lot because I don't have a blanket for covering myself when it is cold. And when the rain comes, like if I am going to Old Fangak to find food, it has become very difficult for me. Moving inside a muddy area, as someone who does not have legs, I don't have mosquito net that can help me. I'm just sleeping on the floor where there are some animals and things moving at night.
Rod says while he believes he has a right to safety and protection in times of disasters, he was on his own during the latest floods.
There was a time when I was going into my room and then I met the snakes on the door, but I jump back and then I allow that snakes to move freely until it is gone, and in that case I went back to my room.
The disabled are not the only ones coping with flood-related challenges in Fangak County. In recent weeks, flood waters in Unity State reached unprecedented levels, forcing shoreline communities to abandon their homes. An 85-year-old woman, only identified as Malek, who became paralyzed 2 years ago, could not move and was stranded in flooded water. Nyankane Malak says she had to carry her mother on her back for days as she wandered through flooded plains to reach a safe, dry place.
When I went to carry my mother, the water levels increased. I carried her and started swimming until we reached Bentiu. The challenge now is that we don't even have shelter and food. The assistance given to us by our government is very little and it's not enough. We don't have assistance from anywhere. There is no food, there is no material, there is nothing.
South Sudan's flooding is the worst in 60 years, according to the United Nations. The floodwaters have submerged roads, farms, homes and markets. For VOA News, I am Sheila Pony in Juba.
Police in northern Bahr al-Ghazal state detained 6 suspects in connection with armed robberies in the state capital, Awil. The state's police spokesperson says the robbers reportedly broke into a school and stole more than 858,000 South Sudanese pounds meant for teachers' salaries at the South Sudan Education Center in Awil. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Captain Guota called the police spokesman in Northern Bahr-el Ghazal State, says police on night patrol in a wheel apprehended six suspects on charges of armed robbery during a search operation last night in a wheel town.
The storm facility, they threatened the watchman at gunpoint. They asked the watchman to open the container because it seems that they are having information of the whereabouts of the money. The watchman refused to comply with the demand, so they shot one bullet in between the legs for the watchman in an attempt to scare him. He refused to comply, and they break up the container padlock, and they went away with money.
Akol says the suspects allegedly broke into South Sudan Education Center, a community-based school in Awil, scared away the guards, and made off with 858,300 South Sudanese pounds over the weekend. Akol says a search operation is underway for more suspects, while investigations continue as the suspects await the arraignment in court.
The investigation will be concluded by today or tomorrow, and it will be Attorney General to decide what to do with the case, because the watchman confessed and they identified them when they were paraded in the number of 40, along with other 40 people. Now it will be jurisdiction of the Attorney General to see what to do with the case. But they will be sent to the court for final verdict.
Akol says none of the stolen money has been recovered. Arcangelo Ding, a principal at South Sudan Education Center, says the teachers were relying on their pay as their only hope before being sent home for the Christmas festival.
This is the money teachers have been hoping to receive it and then to support their families and prepare also for Christmas. But unfortunately, that money went that way, and that is the little money parents were supposed. South Sudan Education Center is a community school, so the parents are the ones that maintain the active of the teachers at the school.
Ding says teachers come from all over, including Bor, Rumbek, and neighboring Uganda, to teach at the South Sudan Education Center because it is one of the best schools in the country. He urges authorities in Northern Bahr-el Ghazal State to speed up their investigations into the robbery and recover the stolen money. For VOA News, I am Dengai Ding in Bor.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, African leaders meeting in Senegal urge their counterparts to prepare for future pandemics. Find out why after the break.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
where do you get your health advice from?
Sometimes I get my health advice from my grandmother, who is at home. When I'm sick that I can't control myself, she'll help.
I get my health advice from my friend, colleague. We live together. Well, those who know about, those who have been experienced more problems about health, they don't advise me through phone. We talk, we chat, discuss everything.
My dad, because my dad is a doctor.
I'd say I get my health advice from various places. The internet, my parents, because I have, my mother is a nurse.
My health advice, I get it on the internet. If I need something on how to deal with obesity, I get it on the internet. Anything I need pertaining to health advice is on the internet.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Some African leaders meeting in Dakar are urging their counterparts on the continent to work together to build resilience and improve the health sector so that African countries can be ready for any future pandemics. The leaders are speaking during a one-day international forum in Dakar, organized under the theme Issues of Stability and Emergency in Africa in a Post-COVID World. Our reporter, Winnie Chirino, who is attending the conference, has this story for VOA from Dakar, Senegal.
More than 1,000 Africans and people from international communities attended the Dakar International Conference. Senegal President Macky Sall sees African leaders, top officials, civilians and military experts come to the forum to learn how to work together to safeguard peace and security across the continent.
No country can face environmental and health perils, organized crimes, piracy and cybercrime alone. These and others are all cross-border challenges. National responsibility, international solidarity, and collective solidarity mean that peace and security in Africa are integral to world peace and security. We must therefore continue to identify the internal and external causes of conflicts on the continent and assess the effectiveness of national response, peace operations, and other mechanisms for the peaceful resolution of disputes.
Sall says while COVID-19 cases are falling in some parts of the world, the appearance of the new variant in several countries indicates that people in all countries must be vigilant. He says the pandemic has dealt a severe blow to the economic growth of the continent, leading to a drastic drop in revenge and unexpected increase in spending on health and socioeconomic resilience, which increased the budget deficits of many African countries since they lack the financial instruments to mitigate the impact of the crisis. Sall says Africa needs to be resilient and combative in the face of adverse effects of the health and economic crisis.
We need to rethink global economic governance to favor the conditions for financing Africa's emergence. In my view, the reforms must focus on at least six areas. One, relax QECD rules for export credit loans and lengthen maturity dates for financing development infrastructure projects. Two, correct the rules for assessing investment risks in Africa, since the perception of risk is still higher than the actual risk, which increases insurance premiums and reduces the competitiveness of our economics. Three, further promote blended financing, combining concessional and commercial financing.
Sall says African leaders should simplify the procedures for examining project financing while respecting the rules of transparency. He says African leaders also must ensure that taxes are paid in the country where the wealth is created. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa says if Africa does not deal with the after effects of the coronavirus pandemic, it will affect the peace and security of the continent.
We need to drive innovative and sustainable economic strategies that not only enables recovery from the pandemic, but that also advance the industrialization and economic integration objectives of the African Union's Agenda 2063.
Ramaphosa says many African countries are physically constrained due to increased expenditures to mitigate the impact of COVID-19. He says lockdowns, job losses and business closures have hurt the economies of many countries. He says even though economic growth on the continent is expected to increase by 3.4% in 2021 and 4% in 2022, much more needs to be done to achieve Africa's economic goals.
Africa has to be resilient in withstanding global crises of this nature, and we have the resources and the collective skills that are needed for economic and social emergency. We must deepen trade and investment between African countries. The Africa Continental Free Trade Area will be a big enabler in this regard. Our focus must be on job creation, supporting and growing African businesses, and creating a favorable climate for investments in all our countries.
Ramaphosa says Africa must focus on meeting sustainable development goals, especially on universal health care and the eradication of poverty. He notes that much of Africa's population remains unvaccinated.
We have to strengthen measures towards self-reliance as a people of Africa and as the entire continent, particularly when it comes to access to vaccines. However, vaccine nationalism and inequitable access has resulted in less than, I would say, 7% of the continent's population being vaccinated today. What continues to greatly disadvantage us is that our local vaccine manufacturing capability covers only 1% of vaccines needed on the continent.
Ramaphosa sees some African countries, including South Africa, Senegal, and Kenya, have the capacity to manufacture vaccines and should be allowed to do so. For VOA News, I am Winnie Sirino in Dakar, Senegal.
UN agencies are expressing alarm at escalating violence in Sudan's volatile Darfur region. Intercommunal clashes in recent weeks have displaced thousands of people in a region already struggling with an economic crisis and rising food insecurity. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
Sudan has been in economic recession since 2018. The United Nations estimates half of Darfur's population, about 6.2 million people, will need humanitarian assistance in 2022. It notes many people are suffering from a prolonged dry spell, pests, diseases, and growing hunger. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs reports the situation in Jebel Moon in West Darfur is particularly tense. Speaking from the capital Khartoum, the head of OCHA's office in Sudan, Paolo Emerson, says conflicts have erupted over access to dwindling resources, including arable land and water. She says all communities in the region are affected by increasingly violent flare-ups triggered by the deteriorating economic situation.
The most recent event took place when there was fighting on 17 November between nomads and farmers in Jebel Moon locality. About 50 people were killed, or close to 10,000 people were displaced, over 2,000 people fled to Chad, and 771 houses were burnt or looted.
A recent interagency team led by OCHA visited 32 affected villages to assess needs. Speaking from Al Janaina, UN Refugee Agency Coordinator for Darfur, Toby Howard, describes the level of carnage unleashed upon devastated communities in the villages visited.
There we came across appalling images of destruction. We found a situation of ongoing extreme tension, and all communities, with all communities on alert and expecting further violence. The mission also located groups of displaced families living in open areas on the fringes of Jebel Moon Mountain, from where they told us they could scatter quickly and hide inside the mountain in the event of further attacks.
While there, Harwood says the UNHCR and partners delivered emergency shelter to 1,600 newly displaced families, as well as other life-saving supplies, including jerry cans, sleeping mats, kitchen sets, and mosquito nets. He notes the needs of the displaced are enormous, but fears they may not be met. He says the deteriorating security situation and growing violent criminality are restricting the ability of aid agencies to access affected areas. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
From Geneva, we move to Kenya, where a Kenyan police officer in the capital, Nairobi, has gone on rampage, fatally shooting six people, including his wife, before shooting himself. For VOA News, Muhammad Yusuf reports from Nairobi.
Running battles between police and angry youth after a policeman killed six people, including his wife. The police officer shot himself. Among those killed were three motorbike riders. Police commander in the Gureti area, Francis Wahome, says the policeman went on a rampage and used his gun against innocent people.
Kuna officer wetu mmoja. Abaye.
He says there was one of our officers who was on duty and excused himself and left with a gun to his home and killed his wife. The commander says he killed seven, including himself. There are two people who were injured and are receiving treatment. According to some witnesses, the officer shot at motorbikes passing on the road and anyone found on his path. Police tried to calm the situation and blocked angry residents planning to storm the police station. Officials say an investigation will be conducted. In August, the National Police Service Commission said mental health issues were affecting the work of some police officers. The commission deployed 59 counselors to help police officers with psychological and mental health issues. Mohammed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
That's all we prepared for you this Tuesday. We now leave you with the Freedom Boys and their song, Mama Sora.
Bitu Brothers, Maski and Freedom Boys, Nam, WJ, Kimoga, let them know. I am. Go. Na, na, na. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Sora, Sora. Mama Sora, Fata Lechua.
We've been listening to the Freedom Boys and the song Mama Sora. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Yes.
se lo ka ipe jai pi baby time so ti ja ba so na pata.